Well, here's a little peek into my life. I got a call on Friday. Yes, I know it's my day off. I don't usually answer, but it was from Sam's funeral directors, so I knew it must be important. Turns out it was. They needed a last-minute Christian minister for a service the next morning, and as their local tame clergy person, would I do it? Of course I can, I respond. Knowing that pastoral care for a family, even if it's just being able to offer them a service, is crucial. So they send me the details and a contact number. So yesterday morning, I found myself having only had a few minutes conversation with the next of kin, her sister, taking a service for a lovely young woman who had died suddenly, only in her mid-30s, leaving two young children. I've no idea, I couldn't tell you how it went, because it's hard when things are so raw to gauge whether I can offer any consolation in their loss or any hope. But as with so many of the conversations I seem to have had this week particularly, I am reminded that as the Book of Common Prayer tells us, in the midst of life, we are in death. The young woman we said farewell to yesterday was of Inuit and First Nations background and had been brought up in the church. And it seemed important to me to bring in this time of year that we are observing. All Saints and All Souls, the season normally known as All Saints Tide or All Hallows Tide if you're of a certain vintage. I've been trying to wrestle with this image of what All Saints is about for most of the years of my ministry. The parish to which I was ordained was actually called All Saints Hampton in London. Actually, it's still called All Saints Hampton in London. So no great surprises there. It's still thriving. I'm also wearing my ordination stole, which was bought for me by friends at All Saints. Being originally dedicated on the Feast of All Saints, that parish took great delight in observing the feast day. Whatever day of the week it fell, there was a full festal Eucharist, all the full dress-up, choir and organ at full belt, all of the verses from All the Saints. I hope you noticed we were edited this morning. And one of those processions which I always say is particularly Anglican, where we go round and round in circles to end up at pretty much the same place we started. So All Saints has been a big deal in my life for these last 27 years, but I have at times, as I think many people do, struggled with this idea. Firstly, with the idea of putting certain Christians on pedestals through our history. So many feel that if you give someone the honorific title of saint, Saint Peter, Paul, and Mary, Ursula, Cecilia, Teresa, Francis, Saint John the Divine, the list goes on. Some people think that by elevating these folk, we set them over and above us. I've realized through the years, though, and I've understood that this honorific doesn't elevate these saints, but holds them as examples who are alongside us in our journey, now as much as when they walked and talked and loved and served over the centuries. Which brings me back to yesterday's gathering. It strikes me again and again that we have much to learn from the indigenous peoples of these and other lands. They have an understanding of ancestors which could inform our understanding of sainthood. For many indigenous peoples, the ancestors are palpable companions on their journey through life. They can be felt, heard, understood in prayer, in the natural world, in everyday life. I realize that the Christian idea of saint is much revitalized with such an understanding. The saints are present with us, as summed up in the words you will hear me say soon, that we gather with angels and archangels and with the whole company of heaven whenever we gather around bread and wine at this table, and whenever we are praying, whenever we are in this world. So this brings me back to the idea of saints as companions, And so we rightly mark that in this special feast day. And we will also mark the companionship of those who have been with us and walked with us, loved us, cared for us, supported us, guided us, and inspired us in our everyday lives as we mark at 4:30 this afternoon with prayers and commemoration with that special evensong, the Festival of All Souls. The saints, our ancestors in faith, walk with us and pray with us, worship with us, and love with us. But there is another sometimes troublesome theme in the way that people talk about saints, for me at least, and it came out a little in the readings that we heard today. Excuse me, the understanding of the saints as somehow pure. In Revelation, the saints are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and had them made white. In the First John reading that Richard read for us just now, we heard at the very end, all those who have this hope in Christ purify themselves just as he is pure. And the Beatitudes contains, of course, something we just sang about in our hymn before the gospel, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I confess I've got stuck with this idea of purity, stuck in my head anyway, because of the toxic nature of the purity culture which is so prevalent and so bound up with Western culture, thanks to Reformation mentalities and the Puritan roots of many who settled in the US and to a lesser extent Canada. But the influence of purity culture has bounced back to the UK and to Western Europe and was visible too in my trip to Africa, where it was very much a part of the culture there. It's this toxic purity culture which blames the way women dress or look for sexual assault, which assaults teens and young adults exploring their sexual and gender identity, which judges those who do not conform to a cisgendered or heterosexual norm. It's this purity culture which is suspicious of art and creativity, any kind of non-conformity. This dangerous, often unconscious set of values which causes judgmentalism and harm. And the church seems to have mixed up so often the ideal of a certain moral purity with what I think our scripture is really calling us to, purity of intent. A focus on the calling of the divine to leave behind all that distracts us from who we are called to be, the fullness of life offered by Christ. I think our church culture has layered upon the saints of the ages a certain moral superiority, which is considered to be purity. Certainly in the history of the church, many of those women who have gained the honorific of saint have only got so because of their virginity. This moral purity of the saints in Christian tradition has been held up as a virtue. Our scriptures, however, do not use that kind of language when they talk of a saint. Paul and the other authors who write in his name, alongside the other writers of the Christian scriptures, write about all of the members of the first Christian communities as saints, all of them. These are those who know themselves beloved, those who share the love of God with the world. Love is the definition of sainthood. Beloved and called to be loving, graced, embraced. And that love binds us together as children of God, the loving heavenly mother and father of us all. That love draws us on to be, to become, to be transformed. Saints are those whose love is not static but dynamic, those who are being changed. As John, the letter writer, says, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We are all in the process of becoming. We have been changed. We are being changed. We will be changed. We are completely loved for who we are, and we are being loved into what we are becoming. In the Aramaic worldview, it might be better named as maturing or ripening. We are maturing in love. Where do we engage with this kind of love, this calling to love, renewal and hope? This calling transformation is one that we enter into together. The calling to be saints is one we share in community here, as part of the eternal communion of saints beyond this time and space that we inhabit, as part of the eternal and beyond time. We are all saints, joined by love and joined by Christ, and by the Creator who made and loves us all. For the best examples of saints, we don't need to look to the pantheon of those who are formally canonized by the church, but look around and look within and look at those who have shaped and loved and formed and inspired us, our ancestors, in faith, hope, and love. For all the saints, beautiful, bruised, healing, maturing, living, and departed, we give thanks and continue on with their companionship here and in the church throughout the world and throughout time. Thanks be to God. Amen.